I want to, for a few minutes this morning, use some scripture out of the Old Testament. I'm going to talk about a fellow that I kind of enjoy talking about, and that's other than the Lord. I always enjoy talking about him, and I always love to tell people about him. This guy's a little bit at the other end of the spectrum. He's a rowdy individual. He's a disliked individual. Today he would probably be considered an outcast, as he was in that day. But he was an individual that he loved the Lord. The Lord loved him, and the Lord used him. I've talked about him before, and I've preached about him before. Some of you might remember. And I think probably at that time I used as a text, "Where were you when I needed you? Where were you when I needed you?" And that's probably a text that each and every one of you can think about in your own life and think there may have been an occasion in your life where that it seemed like that you had a need for somebody and nobody showed up. Nobody came to help you, and you had to go through the situation by yourself, by being alone. And quite often we get the idea that we are the only ones who have ever experienced such an event. But this fellow, his name was Jephthah. He was the ninth judge of the children of Israel. There's not a lot written about him. There's just enough to make it interesting and probably just enough to allow people like me to be able to relate to him and understand what it's like to probably not be considered to be the cream of the crop. To have experienced a little bit of the rough side of life and to have been able to, in spite of that, do a few things that were successful and that were pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. Jephthah was a Gileadite. And it's important that you remember that he was a Gileadite, because a little later, and maybe in the scripture that I'm going to read to you this morning, if I don't read it to you, you go back and read the 11th. I know I won't read all of it to you. The 11th and the 12th chapters of the book of Judges. But a little later, Jephthah, along with his fellow Gileadites, are going to go out and fight a battle with the Ephraimites. And there's a little bit of a distinction between the two of them, other than that they looked alike. Most of the time they behaved alike and they lived alike, but they had something that distinguished them, the Gileadites from the Ephraimites. Now, let me tell you this morning, every single one of you that are sitting here, as a child of God, if you're here this morning and you're one of his children, you're a little different than the world. As much as we want to conform to the world, and as much as we want to look like them, and sometimes the way we want to behave like them, we're still different. The Bible says we are a peculiar people. We are an elected people. We are a select people. And I don't mean that we're superior. What I'm saying is that you need to understand that up to a point you can be like everybody else, but there's also going to be something about you that's going to set you apart from everyone else. And that you're a child of God, that you're one of his children. And being one of his children, you need never be ashamed of that. You shouldn't be ashamed of it. You should always be thankful and appreciative that God has allowed you to be one of his children. And so as you live in the world and live among the people, you've got to understand that in spite of the fact that we may look like and we may act like and we may behave like the world is, there is something different about us that one of these days is going to separate us from them. The Bible very clearly teaches there's going to come a time of separation one of these days. And that God is going to receive the elect, going to take them to heaven, and those that have not been saved are going to end up in hell. Now, that's a separation that's going to happen, and it's going to be an eternal separation. It isn't just going to be for a little while. I was talking this last week to one of my fellow preacher brethren, and he was saying, "My goodness, how many funerals have you conducted in your lifetime?" And I said, "I don't have any idea." He said, "You didn't keep a record." I said, "No, I unfortunately never kept a record." But there was probably a reason I didn't keep a record of it. There have been too many, I'll tell you that. If I never have another one, it wouldn't be a disappointment to me. But I think probably that what you get into, and I would be guilty of this, if I knew how many there was, I'd be trying to compare that to somebody else, and I've done more funerals than they have. You know, I've done more weddings than they have. I've done this more. And so God has never, I've never kept track of how many people have been saved during revivals that I've worked in. That's not information that I needed. The information I've needed is that I have to, by law, keep track of how many weddings I've performed. That's the only one that I've kept a record of, is how many weddings I've performed. Now, I don't know how many funerals there have been, Ronnie. I don't know how many people have been saved during the time that I was preaching or anything. And that's not important to me. What is important is to understand that one of these days, there's going to be a separation. There's going to be a time whenever that God is going to separate those of us who are His children from those who are not. Now, Jephthah was the son of a harlot. He was a son of a prostitute. And his father not only then had this relationship with the prostitute, he also had wives, and by his wives he had children. And so those children, as they grew up, they said concerning Jephthah, "Hey, you're not one of us. You're not one of us. We don't want anything to do with you, and you're not going to be a person who's going to inherit a part of our father's inheritance." And they kicked him out. Kicked him out of the home, and he went on his way, and the Bible very clearly teaches that he fell in then with a group of men who were not of the best character, and they were ruffians, and they lived a pretty hellish life. But by the word of God, this man by the name of Jephthah had continued to keep a relationship with the Lord. And so finally, whenever the Manassites who came and were going to make battle, not the Manassites, the Ammonites, I'll get my names all right here in a minute. Got the Ammonites and the Ephraimites and all the Ites here. But anyway, the Ammonites were going to come out here and they were going to do battle against the Gileadites and against Israel. And you know why they were going to go to battle? They said, "You know what? We remember that hundreds of years ago, when the children of Israel were coming up out of the land of Egypt, what you did, you came and took our land away from us. And we want it back." Yeah, we want our land back. You people took it from us. And old Jephthah gave them a history lesson. Now, as rough as he was, and as outcast as he had become, he still knew a little of his history. You know, I am amazed sometimes at the number of our people who are oblivious to what's going on in our world. That's why I don't care. Well, let me tell you something. You need to know what's going on in the world today. You need to know what has gone on in the past so that you might have some comprehension of what's going to be happening in the future. Now, I find myself sometimes wanting to get out ahead of what the Word of the Lord teaches, and I want to get to think of what I think is going to happen if we continue down the road that we are presently going as a people. Be careful, I didn't say as a nation. There's a difference there. Sometimes I forget what God's Word teaches And sometimes I have a tendency to run ahead and think that I know more than the Lord knows about what's going to happen. But let me tell you something. The best way in the world for me to be totally ignorant about it is just to not to read anything, not to hear anything, and not to know anything, and I can just be in total bliss. I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not, you know. We need to know some of the history. Many of our people today don't know any of our history. Now, I was a history major in college, believe it or not. I didn't graduate with a degree in history or anything, but I did do some study in history, and I still like to study history. But more important to me than all of the history that there has been from the beginning of mankind down to the present time is that we also understand, as Jephthah did, you know, whenever that you hear some of the things that are being said today, just how valid are they? Jephthah said, wait a minute. Now, let me be sure that you people understand what you're accusing of us and why you're wanting to come out here and fight against us. And you're saying that we've taken your land away from you and that you have a right to have it back. No, 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 you better go back and review what actually happened. And I'll tell you what happened. And he does. He starts in and he says, whenever the children of Israel were coming up out of the land of Egypt and they got to your land, they asked permission to go through and would not be granted the permission to go through. We couldn't get any help out of your people. Don't come to me all high-hatted about what you think that you're deserving of, because you people, your people, did not do what you think they done. I fear that many of our people today don't have a clue about some of the history of this great country of ours. And that's one of the reasons we're seeing some of the turmoil and the turbulence that we're seeing today, is that people simply don't know. And they're not going to take the time to find out. But let me tell you this. This is all a fulfilling of the Word of God. It really is. Whenever you begin to look at some of these things and we see what's happening today, all you have to do is go back. You don't have to go back to the Old Testament. Go back to the New Testament. And you can see what Jesus said was going to happen before the end time. And we're fulfilling some of that today. I'm not convinced that there's very much left that hasn't already been fulfilled, and that at any point in time that he couldn't say, that's enough. Go get them. Bring them on home. But I don't know that. Because the Bible says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour of the coming of the Son of Man, saving God alone. So don't ever think for a second that you know exactly when it's going to be. You don't. I don't either. But we've got some indicators. We've got some signs according to the Word of the Lord. And you can take what the Word of the Lord says and look at what's happening today, and you can see a relationship there. Jephthah says, no, no, no. You people are wrong. What you've been told and what you're thinking is not the way it really happened. Now, I don't want you to just take what I say every time I get up here as it always being gospel. I want it to be gospel. I intend to preach to you the Word of the Lord. But I want you to say, you know what? I'm going to go read it for myself. I want to read what God says directly out of His Word. That's what I want you to do. That's why I want you to wear out your Bibles. Don't just say, well, I'll just depend on the preacher to get up there. And reminds me one time years ago, back actually when I first began preaching, I'd gone over to a little church not far from here to fill in on a Saturday night. They had Saturday night service, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I'd gone over to preach on Saturday night. Old boy sat down on the front row. He goes sound asleep on me. And he's snoring. And his wife was far enough away, she couldn't wake him up. But he sits there and snores. And someone said to him, and the next day he's there. And he's asleep again. Come back on Sunday night, and he's gone to sleep the third time. So I just accepted, hey, you know what? He's just going to go to sleep. It don't make any difference what you do. And so someone came up to him after the service over and called him by name and said, brother, so-and-so says, aren't you ashamed of yourself sitting there sleeping while he's up there preaching? He said, oh, no, no, no. He said, I'm not ashamed at all. He said, you know, he said, I've got every confidence in that preacher. I trust him, and I just leave it with him and go to sleep. So He had the best answer that I heard as to why it was okay to go to sleep, you know, while I'm up preaching. But let me tell you something. Sometimes it isn't enough for you to just take what I've said. You need to take and read the Word yourself. And you'll find out sometimes that, well, you know, maybe I don't see that just as Kent sees it. And that's okay. That's okay if you don't see it as I see it. There's nothing wrong with that. Each and every one of us are going to look at the same scripture and have some different ideas. Jeff thought so. He says, okay. He says, you guys want to fight? He says, we've had a few fights before. And he says, so we'll just put it together here and we'll have a fight. But before he does, he goes to the Lord. And he says, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. And he made a vow unto the Lord. And he said, Lord, if you'll deliver these people into my hand, that whatever first comes out the door of my house, that I will sacrifice unto you. Now, let me tell you something. This is a portion of the word of the Lord that I have never been able to understand. And I can stand right here this morning and tell you, I still do not understand. Oh, I've read what some of the knowledgeable commentators say, and I've read what some of the great scholars have said about why Jephthah did this. But then to save my life, I cannot understand why he would have made such a vow. But he did. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says very clearly, it is better to not make a vow than to make a vow unto the Lord and not repay. So be very careful what you make a commitment unto the Lord and what you vow unto the Lord, because he may just hold you to it. He may just take you up on it. I hear people every once in a while, they're like, oh, Lord, if you just do this, if you just do that, this is what I'll do, you know. And I think, oh, Lord, I hope they're not meaning what they're saying. Yeah, because sometimes we're making an awful commitment unto the Lord, and sometimes the Lord's going to say, you made the vow. You need to keep it. Oh, Jephthah made his vow. The Lord gave him the victory. Jephthah went out there and fought against the Ammonites, and he was successful in the battle that he went out there and fought. The Lord gave him the victory, and he understood that it was the Lord, and he gave the Lord the credit for winning the battle. But he also had made a vow unto the Lord, and when he returned home victorious, the first to come out of his house was his only child, his only daughter. And he had made a vow unto the Lord that whatever was first to come out of his house, he would sacrifice unto the Lord. And he carried out his vow. I don't understand that. I'm honest with you. Now, some of you may. Some of you say, oh, well, I understand. It was to the Lord. That's okay for you to say that. And if you understand that, you're a far better person than I am. I'm not. If I were to have to be honest with you, I do not believe this morning that I'd have the courage to do it, Stan. I truly don't. To make such a sacrifice as that. But he did. He did. Now, after he had done, can you only imagine? He loved this daughter of his. He loved her, but he loved the Lord, and he had made a vow unto the Lord. The Bible very clearly teaches in the New Testament that every single one of us are not to put anything above the Lord. Anyone. That includes husbands and wives and children and fathers and mothers. Nobody above the Lord. And yet I see it all the time. I hear it all the time. Well, you know, I've got to do this, I've got to do that because of my husband or because of my wife or because of my child. Well, sometimes what they're telling me is that, you know, more important than the Lord is mine. Be very careful. Be very careful. He must have been grieved. But the people then who weren't even involved in this original battle, the Ephraimites, who are relatives, if you trace them back, they've got a history of waiting until the battle is over until the fight has been won, and then coming and saying, oh, we sure would have liked to help you out. Boy, have I seen that before. And my question staying in is, that's where my text comes. Where were you when I needed you? Yeah. Oh, preacher, we just support you. You know, we just are behind you 100%. Well, that doesn't help after the battle's over. That's not very encouraging. And I just wish that I could have been there to help you. Well, where were you? It wasn't a secret. Now, I'm going to just get real plain. October the 6th, I don't expect most of you here to come up to me and say, well, you know what? We planned our vacation for that time and we won't be here. By golly, we've given you quite a bit of notice, and if you're a member of this church, you have a responsibility to be here. Amen. Now, whether I'm preaching or I'm not preaching, a church has made a commitment and you need to make the commitment. You are a part of this church. I'm speaking to the members now. If you're a child of God, you can get included in this if you want to. If you don't, well, you're okay. Don't wait until December the 6th and come and say, oh, I wish I could have been there for that revival meeting. I certainly didn't miss it. It was had such a good time. I hope we have a good time. I hope we have a lot of people saved. I guess I'm not supposed to be sitting down. But I'm going to tell you this. Don't wait until it's over. Don't wait until October the 6th to say, well, I'm going to get ready for revival, because you've waited too late. We need to be ready whenever October 6th gets here. Old Jephthah, he hears the Ephraimites, they come down here, they get themselves together, and they come down and they said unto him, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? What is this we've heard? You went out there and fought against the Ammonites and you didn't call us to go with you. We're upset. We're upset. Our feelings have been hurt. You didn't bother to call us to come and help you. Now notice this, after Jephthah has won the battle. If he'd gone the other direction, do you think these Gileadites would have showed up and said, hey, we want to take the loss with him? No. We're just going to burn your house down. As if he didn't already have enough trouble. Now listen, I want you to listen. I'm going to read directly out of the Word of the Lord. I've got to quit real quick. I've taken a long time to get here. But I want you to listen now to what Jephthah says to them. You see, sometimes people, we just get in there what we want in there, and we leave out what we don't want and what we're not comfortable with. Well, we don't like that. Well, that's not applicable to us. That doesn't mean what it says, and on and on and on. Now listen to what Jephthah said. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, you didn't let us know. We'd have been down there to help you. Now, wait a minute. Jephthah says, I did call you. I did call you. You didn't show up. You didn't come, but I called you. Don't stand here. See, there's such a nice psychology here, and he's so diplomatic about it. Here he is. He's a crude outcast among his brethren, but they brought him back home to fight their battle. They, whenever that came time to fight, they wanted a fighter. They didn't want the heir, partial heir to their father's inheritance before. But now that they need a warrior, they need old Jephthah. Where were you when I needed you? Old Jephthah says to them, now listen, I did call you. I called you. You delivered me not out of their hands. You didn't show up. You didn't come. You didn't help me. And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are you come up unto me this day to fight against me? Well, Jephthah said, wait a minute. I called you. You didn't show up. And now you've got your feathers ruffled. Now you come down here and you want to fight against me. When I took my life and put it in my hands, he didn't tell them what a great price that he'd had to pay. He didn't mention that. It really wasn't any of their business. But he did address the issue head on and said, I did call you. You didn't show up. I put my life on the line, and the Lord delivered the enemy into my hand. And now then you come down here, and you're all bent out of shape. He said, I'll tell you what we'll do. You want to fight? You got it. He was a fighter. Now here's what he did, and I've got to close real quick. When he got his troops together, and he said, okay, now we're going to go out here, and we're going to fight against the Ephraimites. They've come down here, they want to fight, and we're going to fight against them. And as they begin to lose, they're going to want to come over. They look like we do, they act like we do, they behave like we do. And so it's going to be difficult for you to tell them just by their looks. But here's a little secret. We're going to have them say a password. That's what it amounts to. If they can say the password, then they get to come over. They'll be one of us. But if they can't say the password, kill them. 42,000 of them made the attempt and couldn't say the password. 42,000 of them, out of all of them that came down there, came by them. Gideonite would say to the Ephraimite, when he came and said, I'm one of you. Gileadite would say the password, say Shibboleth. Shibboleth. It's an easy one, isn't it? The problem was they had an impediment of speech that they could not pronounce the H in Shibboleth. And so they'd say Sibboleth, Sibboleth. Not much difference, is there? One letter. But it cost them their life. Cost them their life because I'm sure they felt like, oh, I've got her made. All I've got to do is be able to say that word. See, if I'd have said to every one of you, can you say the password Shibboleth? Every one of you would have probably been able to say it. Probably not one of you here got an impediment of speech if you couldn't have pronounced the H. If I'd listened real close, I might have heard somebody didn't say it just exactly as I said it. But these old boys knew that those people could not pronounce the H. And so whenever they attempted to say Shibboleth, they said Sibboleth. And it cost them their life. There's not a lot of difference between you and me and the world that's lost out here by the way we look, by the way we behave. But the difference is something that's within us. Yeah, there's something that you and I have that they don't have. And that's something that you and I know about. It's not something that we've merited. It's not something that we've been worthy of, but it's something that we've been granted. And that's the gift of eternal life. We need to remember that. We need to know that it's only going to be a small difference between those that go to heaven and those that go to hell. But the difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference, people. Whether he's in our heart or not. 42,000 of them thought, I've got it made. Only to find out they got killed. And the Lord gave old Jephthah the victory. And Jephthah then judged Israel 6 years. Don't hear much about this guy. Jephthah. Kind of remember him and go home and read again about him. And I hope that you'll understand that not everything that's polished and not everything that is right up the snuff is always the best. Sometimes the Lord takes old crude hill people like me. and allows us the privilege of telling about Him. And most importantly, the thing that's going to count is what's in our heart.